This is the Technical Difficulties. We're playing Citation Needed. Joining me in the studio today, he reads books, you know, it's Chris Joel.
Hello!
Everybody's favourite Gary Brannan, Gary Brannan.
Good evening.
And the bounciest man on the internet, Matt Gray.
Hello, YouTube.
In front of me, I have an article from Wikipedia, and these folks can't see it. All the- Matt! Every fact that you write is a point and a ding, and a special prize for particularly good answers, which is...
Mystery Biscuits!
Oh, yeah. So undignified.
Today's article is Thomas Trueblood.
That's a fine Victorian name, I'm thinking.
You're right, yes.
Oh.
I'll give you a point for that.
Thank you.
Born 1856.
Yep. Was he an engineer?
No, not at all. Quite the opposite, in fact.
A demolitions expert.
Okay, not literally the opposite.
Was he going around mills letting the steam out?
Fly free, water vapour. Be gone from your...
Thomas Trueblood, so Victorian, not an engineer.
Yeah, he's very much in the liberal arts.
Author.
No, not really. More to do with spoken word than the written word.
Was he president of the British Shouting Association?
Oh, you're not close enough for a point, but you're in the right area.
American Oratorial Society.
I will give you the point. Ooh. There. He was a professor of oratory and elocution. And somehow I said that really, really eloquently because...
oratory and elocution.
Yes. Trueblood gave dramatic readings around the world. He did a performance of Hamlet. What might have been special about that?
All he did was rent out some pork products.
Hamlet.
I want it back, Caesar. Oh, sorry, elocution. I would like that back when you're finished with it.
First radio performance of Hamlet.
Little bit early for that, sadly. First, 1908.
First slapstick performance of Hamlet.
Chuckle Brothers Hamlet.
To me.
To you.
Do we have to explain the Chuckle Brothers to the rest of the
nation? No, Google it, it's fine.
Don't Google it.
Yeah, do.
Don't.
It was simply a one-man abridged production.
It's just really short.
I quote here, it is his plan to give the principal scenes of the play narrating the unimportant parts.
Like it.
He literally just skipped the boring bits.
Hamlet, the highlights.
Yep.
I could do that. I could do that kind of Shakespeare.
Everybody dies.
Yeah,
Hamlet. Yes. Everybody dies. Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
The most notable thing in this article is just titled "The Jam Handy Incident."
Who is Jam Handy?
Well, that is literally the question I would like to ask you because it's a name.
I assume it's some precursor to the Hamburglar. I'm for your delicious conserves. You can't stop me, Trueblood. Why, I don't know why you run a conserve business, but you see what I'm driving at.
You see where we're going with this.
Did he savagely put Dine Jam Handy in a debate?
Ooh, yes, sure.
Was this a scandal because Jam Handy was of the upper class and Trueblood was of the middle class?
Well, you wouldn't want to fight it because Jam Handy's damn handy.
Hey. It's a wonderful plot, but no, it's not. Jam Handy was a freshman student, 17 years old. Henry Jameson Handy, hence Jam Handy.
No, if I had that kind of name, I think I'd go with Jam Handy as well. Yeah. Actually, yeah.
He got a bronze in the 1904 Olympics.
Was that the Olympics where they had to stop the marathon because the bloke drove a car and won it?
Give me a moment.
There was one of those Olympics where the marathon was called off because some bloke blatantly ran the first 100 yards, got in a car, drove
it. Much more common in the Tour de France in the early years as well.
Yeah.
Gary?
Nice.
Really?
Smooth.
1904 Summer Olympics, Frederick Laws rode the rest of the way in a car to retrieve his clothes after dropping out after 9 miles. So he dropped out at 9 miles, rode the rest of the way, then the car broke down at mile 19, and he just started jogging again. To be fair, Laws went on to win the Boston Marathon, but the actual winner was a Brit called Thomas Hicks. He was a Brit running for the US, but he had been doped, it would be in modern terms. He was supported by his trainers when he crossed the finish. What had they given him?
Brandy.
Yes! Spot on with brandy, have the point. What had they mixed it with?
Ooh.
Beans.
Cocaine. Ketamine.
Margarine.
Rat poison.
Bullocks!
Strychnine sulfate.
Right.
Does we're thinking it
poisoned
just...
you in just the right way if done in just the right amount?
Yep. He possibly would have died in the stadium had he not been treated by several doctors. Why do you say brandy?
Because it just seems to be... It's just the standard pick-me-up. Again, because I do cycling and follow cycling. Early days of the Tour de France, stop, have a brandy. crack back on.
Yeah, well,
it's
really?
Traditional sort of mind, brain and nerve tonic, yeah, you know.
It gets worse because we had Frederick Laws rode some of the way in a car. Thomas Hicks technically won, but doped by modern terms. Felix Carbajal, I might mispronounce that, is a Cuban postman, arrived at the last minute, ran in his street clothes. What kind of slowed him down?
His bag full of post and his hat. Yeah.
Getting attacked by every dog on the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Getting it off all the ladies on the way.
Yeah.
You just pick up a sarnie on the way.
Not quite a sarnie.
Tackle the cow. Had a bite.
No, not quite. It was a vegetable rather than animal.
Potato.
He stood in a marrow.
He's clumped along with it on his foot. I've been attacked by a squash.
How am I meant to run in these marrowy clogs?
One on each foot.
I think the clogs are the main problem there, really. I mean, I know technically the Dutch marathon team use them, but...
Isn't that just the best thing about the English language? Nowhere else in the world is anyone going to yell today, how do I win in these marrowy clogs?
Marrowy clogs actually came fifth.
Right now, we need a smash cut to somewhere in the Netherlands. How do I run in these marrowy clogs? No one will share that today.
No, he stopped off to have some apples that he took from an orchard.
Huh.
Why did those actually slow him down a little bit?
Arsenic poisoning.
Why arsenic?
Apple seeds, is that arsenic?
Cyanide,
sorry, wrong thing, right idea.
Were they the little crab apples? Did they give him like a dodgy tummy?
They did give him a dodgy tummy, they were just rotten.
Oh, you idiot.
Well, that wasn't very bright.
You would know if you picked up a rotten apple.
He had to lie down and take a nap. And here's the thing, this is why you say 1904, this is possibly why it's stuck in your head, because there were so many things. Despite that, he finished fourth.
So someone's had a nap. The other guy got in the car.
So presumably he actually finished second because the first two cheated.
Well, no, the guy who... doping wasn't technically an offence at that point.
Oh, okay, I'm with you.
There wasn't synthetic drugs there.
Right.
They'd given him an incredibly dangerous cocktail and no one thought to put that in the rules.
Yes. Is this all the same race?
This is all the same race. This is the 1904 Olympic marathon. Now, you said, was he chased by dogs? The postman wasn't. One of the other runners was. Nearly a mile off course. One of the first two black Africans to compete in the Olympics. Len Tao was chased a mile off course by aggressive dogs.
You've got a dog Benny Hill, you've got a man cheating in a car, you've got a bloke on brandy.
Why?
Another guy who's had a nap.
And they weren't even part of the Olympics. The Africans running the marathon, they were students from South Africa who had been brought over as part of an exhibit on the Boer War that was next to the Olympics.
And they just thought, we'll have a go.
We'll have a go.
It's only 26 miles.
Why? Why has this not been serialised for television?
Guys, I think we found the format.
Yes. A long time ago, folks, we were talking about Jam Handy.
What was he about again? Refresh my memory.
He got a bronze in the 1904 Olympics in swimming. But what we're actually talking about is what he did to Thomas Trueblood.
Did he heckle him in a particularly hilarious fashion?
Not in person.
Started a scandal about him.
Oh yeah, surely.
Yes,
yeah.
Have a point. Yes.
Once mispronounced something, if you know what I mean.
I'm going to give you another point, because it really is an if you know what I mean. Trueblood was teaching, and I'm going to quote here, the delivery of short extracts from masterpieces of oratory, which was a scene from a play in which a man kneels in front of a woman pleading for her hand. Okay?
Yeah.
Nothing particularly off colour about that. Unfortunately, Handy then wrote an article from a newspaper, so I want to guess what he actually said was going on there.
Oh, some kind of dirty filth that was not fit for the stage.
Yeah, you can have a point there. He said that students at Ann Arbor were taking lessons in lovemaking.
A lesson in Victorian lovemaking be, man is knelt in that fashion, lights go off, someone goes, ouch, lights come back on, she's got a baby.
That's basically how it works in those days, I think. That's accurate.
That's how it works now, isn't it?
That article did the 1900s equivalent of going viral. Because
sold three copies.
Yeah, well, the local newspaper picked it up, then the national newspaper picked it up.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, Trueblood is sitting there in his superior's office with all these cuttings around him. God, I didn't do this. I quote here from the Chicago Tribune, Trueblood has nearly worn out his trousers at the knees.
You got to pay your way through college somehow.
We've all been there, eh, fellas?
What did Handy... Handy went on to do many things. He went on to be athletic. What was his main job?
Parachutist.
Public relations.
Oh!
There's this lovely picture here of the last... You know, the vanity card, the last thing you see when the logo comes up and the
oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
A jam Handy picture. At the end of the show...
oh, it's over. Thank God. Oh.
Congratulations, Chris. You win this week.
Hey!
You win a miniature library to be inserted rectally from which you can shoot the President of the United States. It's a Texas book suppository.
I was with you. I was against you. I just about come back.
Thank you very much to Chris
Jarman. Thank you very much.
To Gary Brannan. To Matt Gray.
Bye-bye.
That's been The Technical Difficulties. I've been Tom Scott, and we'll see you next time.
Fat people didn't want that. The thin people didn't want that. I'm not sure how well he did business. And you know what? That was only the second weirdest thing to happen outside my office window. Because one day someone walked past with a f***ing wallaby on a lead.
Tom Scott going in for an offensive. Oh. Who's offensive? Who's defensive?
I'm offensive.
Tom Scott is offensive. We all knew this anyway.
No, he was killed by a stinger. This is a coffin ray, so it kills with...
coffins.
Chucking boxes at folk. Shark, come on, I love you.